Good morning.
Hi, Jerry. Thank you.
I have a very vivid memory of a time when I was about 9 years old. My father was a railroad engineer, and so he used to be out of town 2 or 3 days at a time, which meant that my mom was stuck at home with me and my two brothers. Yeah, three boys. One of her favorite sayings was, "Just wait till your father gets home." Because inevitably, when my dad would get home, at least one of us had done something that we were to be punished for. I'm not going to say which one of the brothers was the worst, but one of us was. We, in our house, punishment was usually more chores, or you had to come home from school directly or something like that. But every once in a while, we got the strap. And this one time my dad came home, and I'd done something really bad. I can't even remember what it was. And my dad said, go to your room. I went to my room, and I was terrified because I knew what was coming. And my dad came into the room, and he said, "Okay, you know, drop your pants and lean over the bed." And I'm 9 years old, and I'm gripping the quilt, and I am just bracing myself for what's about to happen. My dad, I heard him take off his belt, and he leaned over, and he whispered in my ear, "I'm going to hit this bed a bunch of times. You better make some noise." And he did, and I did. Now, at the age of 9, I didn't think too much about it. I was just glad that I didn't get that whooping. But as I thought about it and told this story years later, I realized that it was when I first formed my impression of the kind of person that my dad was, what a kind person and gentle person my dad really was. Several years later, I think I was about 13, I was in the basement with my brother and my cousin, and we were wrestling. We ripped the sheet of paper that my dad had covered up the spare bed with. My dad came home, and he came down the basement, and he went ballistic. I mean, like nothing I've ever seen in my life before. He just started screaming at us that he couldn't leave us alone for 5 minutes without us wrecking something. And he took off his belt, and he was just flailing it. He was hitting my brother, and he took this roll of paper out of the rafters, and he smacked me over the head with it. And I was just in shock. I had never seen anything like that before from my father. I just didn't understand it. And that night he came into our room, and my brother turned his back on him, and there was actually welts on my brother's back. And I looked, I saw my dad's face, and there's tears in his eyes, and he just said, "Goodnight, boys," and he went away. It was just the strangest difference in my father. I'd never seen anything like it. About 2 years ago, my brother was visiting me from Ontario, and I told him the story and said, "Do you remember that, Bob?" And Bob said, "Don't you know what was happening, Jerry? Don't you remember?" And I said, "No. What?" And he said, "Do you not remember that shortly after that we moved into a rental place? Dad lost our house. He co-signed a loan for his brother to start a business, and it went bankrupt, and he had to sell his house to pay the debt, to honor the debt." And he said, "Do you not remember that about 2.5 years later was when our parents separated and eventually divorced? They were fighting then." He said, "Dad wasn't mad at us. He was mad at the world." And I sat there with my brother, and I was in shock, and I was crying, and all I could think of was how much compassion I had for my dad and how I just wished he was still alive so I could go and give him a hug and just say, "It's okay, Dad, it's okay." I find there is an amazing power in the telling of stories and in listening to the stories of other people. If I hadn't told my brother that story, I wouldn't have got the new insight into what was going on with my father. I wouldn't have been able to reconcile some of the things in my life. Good morning again. My name is Jerry. I've been attending Friends Church for a few years now. I love telling stories. I love listening to stories. Although my wife and my friends would probably tell you I do a lot more telling than listening. It's not true. But I'm amazed at the power, and we believe that there's a fantastic and amazing things can happen when people share personal stories. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning.
Thank you, Jerry, for joining me this morning, for being willing to open up your own story vault. I think every one of us listening this morning can testify to the power of story that you've been moved by different times in your life. Chances are good. Some of you will have maybe been a part of a funeral at one time when someone got up to pay a tribute. And they begin telling a story about that person who's died. And maybe it was you sitting there listening to them as they begin to open up this chapter of this person's life. And they reenact things that person said. And the ins and outs of that person. And as they talk and as they mimic, you and perhaps everyone in that room start laughing. Maybe at one point in the story, it turns. And that person starts talking about the way that person cared or loved or did something sacrificial. And the mood in that room, along with you, sits there and starts to turn. And you start feeling that lump in your throat growing. And you're watching people swallowing hard. And the eyes starting to glass over. You start maybe hearing someone start to whimper and cry. And emotion just is right at the surface. We felt that. Maybe you've been in a wedding. I was in a wedding reception a couple years ago. And I always dread speeches. I'm just like, oh, let's eat and then let's dance or let's do something else. But sometimes those, but there's one guy that got up and he began to tell stories. And I don't know if I've ever laughed so hard in my life. Everyone around that table was choking, trying to breathe, because this guy's stories about this groom were so good. The power of a story to do something in those listening and those telling is undeniable. We all know. We've all felt it. Storytelling has been a staple of the human connection, woven into the fabric of every civilization since the beginning of time.
Native culture, First Nations culture, is filled with story. They would gather around, I'm assuming, a fire pit, and they would tell stories. A lot of times it was the elders that were telling stories about, you know, tradition and history, but I'm sure there were people that shared personal stories as well about, you know, victories, great battles, great hunting trips. And they still do it today. They have what they call sharing circles. I've been to some of them. My heritage is Scottish and Irish, and I just recently found out that there's a huge tradition of storytelling in Gaelic tradition. Who would have thought it? In villages in Scotland and Ireland, they would had a house that was dedicated totally for the purpose of storytelling. It was called a Cayley house. That's the Gaelic word for it.
And we always thought it was just a pub, right?
Which we did a storytelling session at one day, which was really strange, yeah. But the whole village would come, be invited to come to this house that was used for no other purpose, nobody lived there, for a night of storytelling. Sometimes there was these traveling salesmen, traveling storytellers, and they were called Sequoyish. They would come and they would tell local news and stuff like that. But inevitably, the person who had been called to host it would stand up, tell a story. Me and Angus were down at the bay last week, and just simple little stories, and then other people would stand up and tell a story, and the whole evening was based on that. They integrated personal storytelling into their daily living, and somehow that seems to have got lost in our culture over the years.
If you go even further back from those, for those who would identify in the Judeo or the Christian tradition, I mean, we come from one of the richest storytelling traditions known. I mean, the early Hebrew children, they were amazing at telling stories that would then get passed on to their children, and then them onto their children, and then them onto their children. I mean, these stories would be passed on over hundreds and hundreds of years until finally they would find their way into different books that now we call the Bible. That is all based on oral storytelling. There was no one sitting there with a pen and paper, not a feather and ink. There was nothing like that going on that time. It was sitting around the dinner tables or sitting around the fire or these moments, maybe at bedtime, where they would tell the stories, times when maybe they experienced different things. Jesus was probably the master of it all. He could sit down and weave stories, some of the most simple stories. Sometimes they weren't even his own. They were fictional stories, little simple ones known as parables. He would tell a story, and as he would tell them, people would be sitting there, and it would cause them to go deep into their own lives. He would tell a simple story of a farmer. A grain of wheat. He used all these examples, and there would be people going, am I that guy or this guy? Is he talking about me? Wait a sec. He could keep people sitting on who knows what kind of ground. They never had any beautiful seats like this or amphitheaters. They'd be sitting on ground. He would captivate them for hours. They would just hanging on his stories as he would tell them. And he knew as he told them that deep inside their own lives, something was turning. He understood the power of a story. It's amazing, this rich heritage that we come from in storytelling.
But storytelling isn't just for the pros, the elders of the tribe or the Sequoiah and the Gaelic tradition. Storytelling is for everyone. I was just fascinated by it, and so several years ago, I facilitated my first workshop on storytelling. I had absolutely no experience, absolutely no training. I had read a few books on it, and I just decided I was going to do it. So I advertised it, and about six people showed up for this storytelling seminar, which was going to take place every Wednesday night for, I think, 5 or 6 weeks. I don't remember now. The first thing I would do on the first night is I would ask people what their expectation was, why they had come to this storytelling. And there was this elder lady, her name was Margaret. It's strange that I call her an elderly lady, because when I think back now, she was about my age. And I am not an elderly man. So. But anyway, when I asked her, she said, I don't have a very good story. I know I'm not a storyteller. I just wanted a night out. I said, that's okay. So I talked for a little bit, and then I would put up a list of words, and I would just say, pick one of these words and just tell us a little story about it tonight. Everybody was shocked. We're going to tell stories tonight? I said, yeah. She picked house. And she started to tell us about her house. She got the house when her and her husband were married. You know, she was 19. He was 22. She said it was basically a shack, about 900 square feet. And she talked about how proud she was when she walked into that house for the first time. Her and her husband just got to work and started painting it inside and putting up curtains and rugs and things to give it color. And they just worked on this house, and she said she just kept being filled with more pride, and she couldn't believe she could own her own home. The next week, she said first child was coming, so they built an addition onto it, built a nursery. And she talked about how proud she was she built this nursery. And then she talked about how she felt when she brought her child home for the first time. She said her and her husband sat in that nursery and put the baby in the cradle, and they held hands and they cried and stared at the baby and just filled with joy that they had been able to do this and bring their child home to this little nursery. Every week after that, she talked about another house, second child, another room, third child, not another house, another room. She talked about building a deck. She talked about painting it. She talked about building a fence. She started out talking about the house, and then she would start talking to us about the feelings and the memories that she had in every room in the house. She started talking about what it felt like when she took the first child to school. She talked about the first time she had all her family over and she sat on the deck in the back and was so proud that she could have her entire family over to her home. She talked about the first time her daughter brought a boy home for dinner and how that felt to her. She talked about the first one going away for college. She talked about the 10th anniversary on the deck, the 25th anniversary on the deck, the 50th wow. wedding anniversary, standing on the dock with her husband of 50 years, wow. holding hands and staring into each other's eyes and crying and loving him the same way as she loved him the day she met him. The house just provided a background for her to discover the story of her life. I watched confidence grow. I watched her get into more and more detail. I watched her go deeper and deeper into her feelings. I watched her discover her own story, not even knowing she was doing it. And when Margaret spoke the third or fourth week, you could hear a pin drop because everybody wanted to hear the continuation of her story. These simple, simple, commonplace things that just made up this beautiful life. And you know something? It affected everyone else in the class. Some of those people started out with kind of these great, impressive stories, and they all ended up sharing their feelings, talking about little stories about things that happened in their life. And we all were affected by each other's stories. The greatest thing about storytelling is not entertaining people or educating or training people. It's about sharing and your experience and bringing people into your experience, and it becomes their experience. And I watched the most amazing thing happen. On the first week of that seminar, there were seven strangers walked into that room, and 5 weeks later, it was a community. Personal sharing of storytelling with each other creates connection, and it creates this amazing community. I was so grateful to be part of it.
How many know what that feels like when all of a sudden you begin telling the story and people are hearing, listening, and sharing back and forth? I had my most real experience with exactly what you're talking about, Jerry, about close to 20 years ago. We were part of a small group. This is right at the start of Friends Church, really. And there was a group of, I don't know, maybe six couples. And we would take a turn every night. We didn't really know how to do this thing. We're just trying to learn and grow together and share life together. But someone said, hey, I got an idea for our small group. And I'd like to do it next time we get together. And I said, oh, sure, sounds good. So he came in, he said, tonight we're going to do what is known as highs and lows. We're all going to take turns sharing one high moment from our life. And then we're going to share one low moment from our life. And I remember like kind of thinking, I haven't even thought about that ever in my life. What's a high moment? What's a low moment? And I remember kind of all of a sudden being nervous, going, well, I don't even know what story I'm going to tell. And I all of a sudden, you could tell everyone was kind of nervous. One guy kicked it off, and he talked about getting his first car. one of his high moments. And it was a rusted old thing. The story is told. We were laughing. I mean, and teasing him. I think it was a Pinto or something that he got. And it was like trouble right from the first day he bought it. So his story was great and we're laughing. And in the back of my mind, I'm going, oh gosh, what story am I going to tell? And, have you ever been there? And so anyways, as the story started going around, one guy talked about a promotion that he got. And his dad was not an expressive type, but he said it was the first time. He says, I think I was probably 25 or 26. But my dad called me. It was a big promotion. My dad found out about it. My dad called me and he told me. He says, it's the first time I remember my dad saying, I am so proud of you. He said, forget the promotion. Hearing my dad say that, it was like a window into that guy's soul. I remember just being so lost in that story. Another girl said, that one of the happiest moments of my life was the day I graduated university. I was the first woman in my entire family that we knew that had graduated post-secondary. I remember the group cheering her on, like we were like, what? Get up. We were just so happy for it. It was like this storytelling circle was getting life. And man, all of a sudden our wheels were turning and people started sharing stories. And I mean, we were just in. And then it turned as people started sharing some of their darkest. One guy talked about his family bankruptcy. Similar in some respects to your dad's and your story. But he talked about the impact on his family when they went from really being kind of an upper middle class to just having their knees cut out from under them and the stigma at school, just so many different things. Oh, just, it was gripping watching as he just relived the story. He had never talked about it. His wife is looking at him just going, what? One woman opened up about giving birth to a stillborn baby at 9 months. It was, this was 20 years ago, and I feel like it just happened yesterday. I can relive this little living room we're sitting at in one of these couples' places. When you talk about human connection, something, I thought I knew those people in that room. But that night, as we got up and we ended, and we gave hugs, I felt like I was saying goodnight to family now. Like, there was people I had seen into their soul. I just went, man, I am looking at you in a completely different way. How many have ever felt that before? You found out something about someone, they opened up and shared, and you're just like, oh, I feel so much closer to you. Absolutely. And healing. Some of those people that shared something that they had never shared before, they even described it. They just said, something just feels different now. I don't know, I just feel so much better.
I have to tell you the last chapter in Margaret's story. The last evening we were together, she came to me and said she wanted to talk to me privately, not in front of the group. And she shared with me that her husband of 53 years had Alzheimer's, and it was progressing very quickly, and he was forgetting. I don't know if you know much about Alzheimer's. My mother had Alzheimer's. It's tragic. Your life basically disappears backwards. Like, you start forgetting recent, and it works backwards like that. And she was terrified. She was afraid because she was losing him. 53 years, these people had been together through this journey of life, and she was losing him. And she said, Gene's been taking a book on which one of us would cry first. Guess I lost. She said to me, I'm not afraid anymore, because now I know that he will always be there with me in my story. She discovered her story. It's not why she came. She came to get away for a night. She discovered her own story. She owned her own story. She saw the value in her own story. And it was this healing that took place because of that. It wasn't what she intended, but it affected me, affected her, and eventually she had the courage to share it with the rest of the group, and it affected everyone. Personal storytelling, whether it's one-on-one like my brother and I, or it's to a group like Margaret in this class, can have absolutely amazing effects, both on the teller and the listener. Connection, community, healing.
It occurs to me, you know, I've never talked to anyone who would deny any of this that we're talking about. But it is interesting to me that really even of all that goes on, even here at Friends Church, you come and you listen to stories. We build so much of our content out of the stories that we hear out of our own personal lives. But you're hearing them. So I'll get together, and Vince will get together with many. We'll sit down over beer and we'll talk, and we hear the stories. We know the stories exist in each of your lives. But it's sad to me that so much of our culture is now not about hearing those all of our stories out there. It's been in some way relegated to the pros. To the professional storytellers. We watch Netflix. It's a professional storyteller's art. And we're gripped and we even come in here and we listen to someone tell the story who's practiced and polished it up. Our culture has moved away from the storytelling culture to more of a listening, watching, observing from a distance. Like these ideas of our sitting around the campfire, going to the Cayley house, making room for the individual storyteller. It's going away. And we can't help but wonder what would it look like if we were just so much more intentional about making room for the power of storytelling personally in our own lives. Like, I don't know about you, but even as we're telling these stories, do stories start popping up in your mind? I wonder, what if we could be more intentional about this? So I asked Jerry, I just said, Jerry, what practically could we do to stir up more of this? I heard about this workshop that he did, and I thought, what a great idea. What an awesome idea to encourage this. But it doesn't need necessarily someone to go to a workshop to do this. Mm-hmm. So he was like, oh, this is simple. So, kind of, you know what? Maybe just go there. Just share some, can you, practical stuff for encouraging this into our own lives?
Well, you don't have to be a professional to start with to tell a personal story. The story of Margaret is beautiful. It illustrates that she didn't even really know her story until she started to tell it. And that's one of the great powers of storytelling, is the discovery of your own story. But I use this... not really a technique, but when I'm working with people on personal storytelling, I do something I call it mining your memories, mining your thoughts, sort of connecting the little pieces of your life that you may have even forgotten. And I just throw out words. I usually give paper copies of this, but just for a second, if I say certain words to you, does it perhaps bring up a memory in your mind that you might have a story about? If I were to say, proud. How about guilty? I'm sure most of us have one of those stories. How about lonely? How about heartbroken? Regret. Or how about a specific place or an event like your best or your worst birthday? Your best or your worst date? I have far too many stories about that. the best or your worst vacation. Yeah. How about drunk? No show of hands is necessary. It's confidential here. Oh, why not? How about some special event like a stag party? There might be a story or two there that you can confide with maybe one friend. historical events. Where were you and how did you feel on 9/11, for example? Or how did you feel the day Princess Diana died? Yeah. How about there's a very historical event coming up in Canada next month, in October, or a month after next, they're going to legalize marijuana in Canada. That's a huge historical event for this country. How do you feel about that? Have you told anybody the story? Maybe you've got a personal story about weed. Again, no show of hands necessary, but I'm just saying. How about the Gulf War? How did it feel when you saw that on TV like it was a video game? How did that make you feel? Where were you? What did you think? When I say these kinds of words, I'm betting that all kinds of memories, former chapters in your life, and I think of memories as chapters in the book that is your life, but it takes more than just remember. It takes deliberate action to create, to find and create and tell personal stories.
You know, when you were talking about mining, I was just thinking, you know, I was just speaking with someone today who for years had locked off memories, certain chapters of their life. They just said, no, that's a no-fly zone. Their whole family never knew certain memories. Even to this day, there are times when someone else in my family will tell a story, and I'll go, what? Mom? Mom! No, tell that story. Some of us will suppress certain memories. Leave them behind. Maybe there's shame messages coming from within them. You can see how storytelling can be so interwoven with our spiritual journey. There are stories that have communicated things that still are right at the top of your mind that come from stories back there. And possibly by mining some of the past chapters of your life, you can undo some of the stuff that's going on even right now. The way that you think, the way you respond to certain environments, people, when certain words and triggers that you see how connected this is to the spiritual journey. This practice of mining can be a powerful spiritual exercise. But it's more than that. It's more than just mining the stories. It's about creating spaces to talk, to share openly, to exchange the stories with others. You want to? It was just interesting because we had a chat about that, because I said, sure, man, we are living in a busy world. Like, right, it's a world of 20-second sound bites. It's like, you know, dad, it's like, what do you need? Give it to me in fast motion, all right? I got something going on. It doesn't lend well to long-form storytelling, does it?
No, and there aren't any Cayley houses. we don't.
Well, there are Cayleys, and
yeah, there are Cayley pubs, and you can go there. And
could be used.
And most people have had that experience too, where you're in a group of 6 or 8 or 10 people, and somebody tells inevitably a funny story, and then triggers somebody else to tell a funny story. It usually starts with a funny story, and then maybe somebody tells a story that's not so funny. It's a little more tragic, and then the theme will change, and it'll go up in that. And at the end of the evening, I don't know about you, but I walk around away knowing people a little bit better. When I see them, I frequently think of the story that they've told me.
You know, if I could just jump in, I think there would probably be introverts here who would go,
absolutely,
you know what, hey, I'm not telling my story in front of a group of people.
Yeah.
Hey, that ain't going to happen.
Yeah, and we talked about that, and as you said, you pointed out quite clearly that if there's a scale, I'm somewhere out here in storytelling, and other people, they're just private, and they don't like to do that, and they don't want to do it in public. But a couple of things I tell people when I'm working with them is, A, everybody has a story. Everybody's story has value, and everybody's story is worth the telling. Finding appropriate places to do that, because there are no scheduled events, mealtime is a perfect time to tell us a story, or probe other people to a story by mining them, helping them with those words. When you're driving in your car for 2.5 hours going somewhere, great time to just share a story with one person or on vacation.
Like I, as Jerry was kind of showing me more convenient times or spaces that lend more naturally to creating storytelling culture in our homes, in our families, with our kids or whatever. As he was talking about this, I'm just like, oh man, I'm feeling bad because I haven't capitalized as well as I could have on some of these spaces. Like mealtime, how often? Our phones on the hip of every, you know, it's like, interest. You know, talking about, and I've heard people just saying, no, at mealtime, all phones go onto the middle of that table. Yeah. The TV's going to go off. We're just going to lower the distraction level right now, and we're going to take a turn telling a story. I just thought about that. I was going, whoa, would that be different?
I have one friend who, Sundays are tech-free day. Everybody in his house for the whole day, every Sunday. I know. Can you think about how creepy that is? You know.
Really? Let's not push this.
Come on.
Okay.
I sleep with my phone beside my ear. Not because I get a lot of calls, just I'm hoping someone. Bedtime is a great time.
Frequently bedtime.
I'll tell your children. I don't have children anymore, so I tell my wife bedtime stories sometimes. And but it's a great time, you know, before we fall asleep and I have her attention. I don't know, Father's Day, Mother's Day, tell a story about your father. Tell a story about your grandfather if you have one. I'm very fortunate. I'm going to say this. I'm very, very fortunate that I've been able to have the experiences I've had with watching what can happen to people when they're willing to share their personal stories. I know, you've sure had the experience that you've been in a seminar or a talk or a technical thing of some kind, and it's 2:30 in the afternoon and your head is starting to drop and your eyes are closing and the speaker says, I remember one time, poof, instant engagement. I just encourage people to engage each other in personal story, and I think you'll be very surprised at the things that can happen.
Yeah, we're done here. We want to really ask you, would you be willing to open up your life more to the power of story? Like, would you be willing to be intentional this week to create space? Some of you were at Supper Club last night, and it was just creating space to tell your story. Tell me more. Invitations into the windows of people's souls. Say, no. What about that there? Like, I love listening to podcasts where these interviews go on and the interviewer, the good ones, are saying, wait, what do you mean by that? You said this. Tell me about that. Would you be willing to create more space in a conversation that just says, let me in? And would you in turn give that gift to someone else? Wouldn't life, wouldn't our worlds, wouldn't our journeys be richer? I happen to believe that the divine, the more than, is working in you right now. Working in me right now, in the chapter I'm in right now. And if I would just take time to mine it, I might see the significance of an event that just took place 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. Or a month ago. If I'm just willing to just think about what's going on here. I had one guy sit, we just had coffee in the lobby today. And he told me about one event that he had with his daughter this last week. And I could tell as he was telling the story, he's observing something, a growth in his personal journey oh, amazing. Would you be willing this week? Create a time. Maybe on the way home, you get into that car. Turn off the radio. Don't reach for the podcast. Just shh, be quiet. If you're alone, why don't you just mine the last week? Last year, pick out a high and a low. Maybe you're in the car with someone else. Maybe you can look at them and say, tell me a meaningful story from your last week. I want to hear it. Our prayer is that as the power of story is relived, is experienced, our journeys will go deeper. Level of connection, community will go deeper. Healing, personal healing, as you open up different chapters of your life. New levels of self-awareness exploding. Oh, man, we're giving you a lottery ticket this morning. Are you going to punch in, man? We're done. Jerry, thank you. Did you have something you wanted to share?
I was just going to say, if you want to know more, just
you know what?
Give me a show.
Jerry is contemplating doing another workshop this fall. And if you might be interested in being a part of that journey with him, come and talk to him. I told him. I said, you got to do it. You got to do it. And I think there'd be other people that'd be interested. So if you are, would you come and chat with them? Please. We want you to have a great week. I can't wait to hear more stories. I look forward to beers, Kaylee. You know, we do these pub nights every now and then. And we've got to resurrect them. These Kaylee houses over beer. What better thing than that? Gosh. Anyways, look for those. Have a great week, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Thanks very much.
Good job, man.